Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
It's good to be with all of you here today. I'm excited about this new series we're jumping into, but I do want to take a moment. I do want to look at our camera. Everyone that's maybe watching on any screen that you may be watching throughout the day or maybe later in the week or later in the day that you end up watching one of our services, whether it's online, whether it's out in our overflow, wherever it may be, I just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being with us this weekend. Hey, church, can we give it up for everybody who's watching online with us? We love you guys. Strong, powerful, powerful. No, man, I love it. I love it. Hey, we just had a powerful time of worship. And I want to talk to you, starting a new series called The Names of God. The Names of God. If you have your Bible, if you would open up into Ezekiel chapter 48. Ezekiel chapter 48. Man, we're really excited. We're going to be getting rolling with all of our parking lot stuff right after Easter, getting that rolling. So we'll take care of all the parking lot. I want to thank everyone that comes on Saturday night services as well. Our four services are going great. Let me tell you what's happening. People are coming to the Saturday night service. Let me tell you what else it's doing. It's really thinning things out with all the other services. And so it's made things a lot better. People are hanging out longer. They're not having to run out the door and all these things. And so thank you guys for spreading it out a little bit so that we can reach more people and build more people. And so the names of God, as I've done a deep dive into knowing some of the names of God, looking into it and looking at different words that represent different names of God, it's been really interesting and fascinating. I think you're going to learn a lot throughout this series, and I want to try to help you with it. And this is going to lead all the way into Easter, where when we get to Easter, the name above all names. And so we'll be releasing this week all the different times of Easter so you can make the plans that you need to make. It's going to be a great, great, great time. I want to take a word in particular. Matter of fact, if you were here last year, sometime last year, I did a whole message on prayer. And I talked about at the very beginning of my prayer, one of the things that I do is I go through some of the names of God. Names like Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, all these different names. And I would go through that. And that's one of the things I would kind of speak over myself and speak over what's going on. I'm not going to go over it today, but in a couple of weeks, I want to show how you got to the word even Jehovah. It goes all the way back to a word Yahweh that was then brought and interpreted to the word, the Hebrew language of Adonai. And all that meant was Lord. But then there was two different types of Lords. There's the word Lord. When you get Yahweh, Lord, all capital letters, L-O-R-D. There's also another translation that it's L, capital L, little O, little R, little D. And that was a word that actually the Hebrew scholars back in the day, they wanted to make sure that when someone was using the word Adonai, they were using it the right way. And so they didn't want any lowercase letters. They wanted it to be uppercase letters. And so they actually made up a word that signified and showed, hey, you're supposed to pronounce Yahweh this certain way so that we're not talking about little Lord, we're talking about the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Now, English scholars took that word that was invented, okay? They took that word, and when they interpreted it, and they wrote it down and came up with the word Jehovah. And so now that Jehovah word that we use, it's Jehovah meaning God, meaning the Lord, I am who I am, because it all came from when Moses in the Old Testament, and he saw the burning bush. And God was telling him to go to the Egyptians, to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And Moses said, well, who am I to say who sent me? And he gave him the word Jehovah, which meant this, I am who I am sent you. I am sent you. That's the one who sent you. And I love that because when you think about that, it's like, whoa, but it doesn't matter what you're walking through, he is. Doesn't matter what's happening. He says, I am. Well, God, I'm going through a whole lot. That's all right. I am that. Amen. Well, God, I need some peace. Cool. I am that. God, I need some help. Good. I am that. So how do you explain yourself when you're God? Well, I'm him, right? I mean, how do you explain yourself when you're God? And so it goes all the way into Jehovah, and we have all these names. Matter of fact, I'm going to put it on the screen for you now. Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord provides, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, Nisi, Mekdesh, Shalom, Sitkanu, Rahi, Shama, and Sabbath. All these are some of the different names of God. Now, we're going to go over the next 3 weeks. I'm going to go ahead and take those. We'll leave it up there for a second because we know a lot of people like to take pictures that are up there. If you're watching it on a screen, you just screenshot it right where you're at and you can get all the different names, and that's the different scripture references. And so we're going to take three. I know for sure next week we're going to take Jehovah Shalom, Lord our peace. What does it mean when I am says, I am your peace? And then the next week we'll do that one. I'm not sure which one I want to do yet for that third week. But I want to talk today in particular. I want to take Jehovah, the word Jehovah Shema out. The Lord is there. So my title for the first name of God that we're going to talk about together, and what does that mean for us, is that Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Now that word, Jehovah Shema, it comes from where it comes from, and they grasp it in scripture, comes from that Ezekiel 48:35 that I told you to turn to. That's actually the last scripture in that whole book of Ezekiel. Let me give you a little bit of background about Ezekiel before we get to that scripture. Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel is written, and there's 48 chapters. And at the very beginning, we see from chapters 1 to 11. This is really interesting stuff, man. When you look back in the Old Testament, the way they did things, man, is fascinating at times. And so here's the children of Israel. They are taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And so Ezekiel, he has a vision as this is going on of all this that is happening. And we see all throughout chapters 1 through 11, we see Ezekiel, he's given this vision, this prophetic word, and it's showing all the accusations of God against the children of Israel. This is why they were taken captive. And he starts to list out all the different accusations. Now, this is another interesting thing that happened back in the Old Testament. The prophets would do something that theologians call nowadays the sign acts, is what it means. In other words, what a prophet would do is a prophet would know God's trying to speak to my people, and to get my point across, where we might do just in modern day illustration, they would actually physically do an act that would represent what they're doing wrong. And so we see throughout chapters 1 through 11, there's one part where Ezekiel shaved all of his hair and chopped it all up and showed it to the people of Israel, showing that you've been scattered and your mind is, you have been, that's a disgrace whenever you would lose your hair, whenever you would shave your hair. You would often see when other countries would come and invade another, they would shave the hair off of people and men and their beards in particular. There's another part that this is crazy. God told him to do this, and so he laid on his side, Ezekiel did, for over a year. Laid on his side. And he laid on his side for over a year, and he made food. And whenever he would make food with fire, he actually put human feces, and he cooked the food with human feces. How many of y'all say, that's not my calling in life? I'll take something else. I don't know about all that. All trying to get a point across. In the book of Hosea, we see a story where Hosea, one of the minor prophets, he married a prostitute. It was called a sign act. Married a prostitute and walked around and told the people, you have prostituted yourself to other gods and other kings. That's what they would do back in those days. That was sign acts. I'm glad that we're under the new covenant, so brother don't have to lay on a side to get a point across to anybody in our church, all right? And so he sees in this, chapters 1 through, I'm building up the story. He sees these acts happening in the temple of God. And these acts that are happening in the temple of God, he sees the corruption that's behind the scenes. It's pretty interesting, fascinating. He sees a picture of God sitting on the throne and God's presence leaving. And it's slowly leaving the place. And from chapters 12 through 32, we see God's announcement of judgment, the judgment that's going to take place on the children of Israel because they've disobeyed and they've not listened. Then chapters 34 through 46, it talks about after they've gone through judgment, the hope of Israel is going to come back. And he slowly began to see a new temple being built and the presence of God returning to the new temple. That was through chapters 40 through 46. And so now there's this new temple. The presence of God is there. And then he sees in chapter 47, the last two chapters, 47, 48, a river starts to come out of this temple. And the river comes out of this temple and it goes into the most dead spot known in that during that time, into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, where nothing could live, all of a sudden starts to come to life. And people start coming all over to this city because God's presence is in the temple. And here's the last verse of Ezekiel that we've been building up to. It talks about the distance all around will be 18,000 cubits. And watch this. And the name of the city from that time on will be the Lord is there. And that's where we get this. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Now, people were going to come not because what was there, a temple, but they were going to come because who was there. And it was his presence. It wasn't what was there, it's who was there. Matter of fact, let me just share this. As your pastor praying over our church, can I tell you what I want to hear more than anything else? Hey, we want to come. You know why we want to come? Because we feel we know who's there. And it's not Jason. Let me just make that clear. All right? It's God. His presence is here. We've had people come. Man, it's vibrant. It's alive. It's good. You know, that pastor's energetic and funny. You know? The worship team's this, that. That's all great. But you know what? The only reason I'm energetic, the only reason they're anointed, it's not what's there, it's who's here. It's the presence of God. Said, when is it going to stop? Never. Why? Because people aren't coming to see a building. They can see that anywhere they want. They want to come because there's the presence of God is in the place. Man, when I go to that small group, man, it's just alive. When I go to that youth service on Wednesdays, man, it's just alive. When I go to the next steps, man, it's just vibrant and it's alive. I'll tell you why. It's not what's there. We didn't set it up and organize it perfectly, although we try. We didn't do all these things. You know what? It's who's there. God's there. Jesus is there. And where Jesus is, there's life. And where there's life, anything can happen. Maybe you're even here and you're walking through some things and you're walking through some difficulties and challenges and you feel your spirits lifted. You know why you feel your spirits lifted? Because God's here. Amen. Man, that's why we went back into that song. You will always be holy. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest because guess what? I can't change you, but Jesus can. It's who's there. I've said this so much at a church, but I wanted to put this so that you would see it in writing. That we as a church, we don't want a church that attracts people first. Now don't misunderstand, we want people to be here, but we want to have a church that attracts the presence of God first. Because if people come, then people come. Come on, some of y'all don't even like people. Let's go to a different service. Why? Because there's too many people. But when you attract the presence of God, Hollywood can't compete. AI can't compete. Come on, somebody. The rodeo can't compete, although it tries. I don't know. I feel the Lord there when I get them fried Oreos, Pastor. I felt the Lord. Eat too many of them, you're going to feel something else. All right? I'm telling you. So I want to feel his presence, because the difference is God's presence. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Now, let me say this. To understand and appreciate the power of what it means, because when you hear this, oh, the Lord is there, that's great, Pastor. You know, God's always with us, is there. No, it's easy for us to forget how big of a deal that is. We need to know it. To see how important it is that God is there, we need to know where here was. Because we can't appreciate there if we don't know what was here at some point. Like many of you, you can't appreciate where no one can truly appreciate where you are because they don't know where you've been. You ever meet somebody and they're like, yeah, I was a mess. I was this, that, and the other. And you're like, no way. No way. And they're like, man, you have no idea what I was. Maybe you're in here today and you're thinking to yourself, Pastor, I was is where I am. Guess what? You can leave here and not be where you were. Amen. And all because God is there. So let me take a moment and I want to show I want you to appreciate God is there. What we had to go through for Jehovah Shema, for him to be here, the names of God that we're talking about. I'll tell you one of my pet peeves. One of my pet peeves in life is you ever go to a park or a mall or wherever and you go and you don't know where you are and you look for a map? You ever look for a map and they have this beautiful map laid out? And have you ever seen one of those maps that they have this beautiful map but they don't tell you where you are? That's the worst. I don't know if they changed it, but Katie Mills Mall, if any leadership is watching right now, I need an arrow that says you are here. Because I'm like, it doesn't matter where you tell me where everything is. If I don't know where I am, I don't know how to get there. Drives me nuts. So let me tell you where they were so now we can appreciate how we got there and how he got there. Now, I could go into a long theological understanding of how we went from here to there. I'll just give you a little bit of a snapshot. We see that God made Adam and Eve, and when they sinned, it separated us from God. And we see in that moment that we were separated from his presence. By the way, interesting, hell, if you ever look up scripture, hell is not the presence of torment. Hell is the absence of God's presence. And people are tormented because they can never be in God's presence ever again. The Bible actually says that God put eternity in every single person's heart. That's why the most atheist, the most agnostic, I'm telling you, somewhere along the road, interviews thing, somewhere they're like, they know there's something. And that's why you hear people and even some of the famous ones out there that were atheists on their deathbed have said things like, I hope there's something. Because there's eternity in all of their hearts. And so we're separated from God in that moment. We see how God showed up at a certain place and he talked to a man named Abram at the time. He changed his name to Abraham. He set his covenant with Abraham and his presence was with Abraham. God was with Abraham. Actually, a pretty cool story in Genesis 13, I won't go too in it, where Abraham and his nephew Lot, they were so blessed, there was so much prosper in all their animals and their livestock and cattle. There was so much that they actually had to go separate ways because the land couldn't support both of them. And there was this cool moment where Abraham goes, okay, Lot, here's the deal. If you go in this direction, I'll go in that direction. If you go in that direction, I'll go in this direction. Do whatever you want. And the Bible says that Lot looked and on one side, it was all desolate on one side. And then the other side, he could see just lush green and rivers running through. And he said, okay, I'm gonna go that way. And Abraham was like, okay, cool. I'll go this way. Seems like a pretty raw deal, huh? Except for Abraham wasn't worried about it. You know why he wasn't worried about it? Jehovah Shema. Because he knew the Lord was with him. And he goes, if God's with me, it'll flourish over there as well. And sure enough, what happened? It began to flourish over there. You know why I don't hope you go to school, go to your job, and make an impact with your life? You know why I don't hope that you go into a new assignment and make an impact? I don't hope you make an impact. I expect it. Why? Why? Not because you're so great, although you are. Because God is with you. Amen. And wherever you go, the favor of God and the life of God goes with us. All right, keep going, Jason. Keep going. All right. Then we see the story with Jacob. And Jacob, he actually wrestled with God. And that God changed his name. God was with him in that place. Then we get to the story of Moses. Moses and how God spoke with Moses. And Moses actually, after he saw, we saw the deliverance of all the Egyptians, he set up a place actually called a tent of meeting. In that tent of meeting, the Ark of the Covenant would rest. And he would go into that tent and meeting, and the Bible said he would talk to the Lord as face to face. So if you wanted to be around the presence of God, you had to go to a certain place. Okay, that's a big deal. This is important. We see story of how David, when David was king and the Ark of the Covenant, so the presence of God left and they captured it. And as they brought him back, David was like, I don't have a temple that's fine enough, that's good enough to put the presence of God in. So they took the Ark, which was the presence of God, represented it, and they put it in this brother's house called Obed-Edom. Imagine if the presence of God could only be at one place at one time and somebody said, hey, I'm going to give it to you. Can you take care of it? Get the guns out. All right. Ain't nobody coming around. The presence of God. I'm in charge of it. Okay. Now watch it. My boy Obed-Edom. 2 Samuel 6:10-11. Look what happened to Obed. David said he was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. You know why he blessed him? Because his parents named him Obed-Edom. That's why. No, I'm just playing. But the presence of God was there, and so it was blessed. That was the manifest presence of God. You had to go to it and find it. You had to go through all this stuff to be able to be in that presence. Then guess what happened? God sent his son Jesus. And now we didn't just have to go to where God's presence was. He took his presence, his very person, and brought him to us. Emmanuel, God with us. I remember there was one part in scripture where the Pharisees were fussing at the disciples, and Jesus said, why aren't your disciples fast? And Jesus said, I'm paraphrasing it, this, basically this, like, you fast to get close to God. Well, guess what? I'm here. Don't worry. When I leave, they'll fast. Okay? And so he was with us, and that sin separated us. And when Jesus died on a cross, which we will be observing together on Good Friday in just a couple weeks from now, and when he died and he said, it is finished, what was he saying? He was paying the ultimate price. And at that time, the Ark of the Covenant, guess where it was? It was in the temple of the Holy of Holies. And there was a curtain that was in between the two, because you could not be in the presence of God, not die. It was that powerful. And when Jesus died and he said, it is finished, the Bible says there was an earthquake, and the veil, the curtain was ripped in two, and you could see. It was signifying, okay, I made a way. Now you can all come into the presence. Okay, I'm showing you how we're going from here to there. But that's not it. Jesus leaves. And when Jesus, he's ascending, he tells everybody, hey, don't leave till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Holy Spirit comes in and comes upon all the disciples, and the church is born. And then guess what? So now we go from Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. He's in this box, the ark. He's behind the veil in the Holy of Holies. Okay, no. The Lord is there. He's Jesus, and he's walking around, and he's with us. Now watch. God pours out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh, the third part of the Trinity, of the Godhead. And guess where he is now? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. Now, God's presence goes with us, because if you're a believer, he lives in us. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. His presence is with us. So you go and you get that report, and it's not what you expected. He's with you. You're not alone. Amen. We sometimes have this idea, well, you know, when I'm doing things good, God's with me. But when I struggle with some things, God leaves me. No. God is with you. Jehovah Shema, he surrounds us. This is what I love about God. This is what we do sometimes. Let's say this is God right here, and we start to walk away and we do our own thing. Often we think, you know what? I got to get things right. So I'm going to turn around and I got to walk back through all the junk that I just walked away from to get to God. This is the thing I love about God. It doesn't matter how far you go. You can say, God, are you still, whoa, you're there. Yeah. He's the one that's been whispering to you the whole time. He is there. Okay, so then, okay, this is awesome, Pastor. This is awesome. So now, let's drill down a little bit on, you know, we always like to get practical with this part. How should that affect my life? Like, how should I respond now? Now knowing that wherever you are, there he is. You're a believer. He lives on the inside of you. He's going to go with you. So knowing that he is there, how does that impact our life? I want to give you three quick things. The first thing is this. Knowing that Jehovah Shammah is there, you can now live without fear. You don't have to live in fear. Isaiah 41:10 says this. So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. It doesn't mean that things aren't fearful, but it means we do not have to live in a state of fear because Jehovah Shammah, he is with us. I'm thinking about a time that in particular, I remember I was a student pastor for many years, and I remember when I took about 20 students to Nigeria. We have some Nigerian families in our church, I know. And we flew into Lagos, and then we went to Benin City. And for all my Nigerian families, we stayed with the Itahosa family is who we stayed with. They know who they are. And so I had all these groups. And so we were driving to Benin, when we were in Benin City, and we were driving to the area we were staying. And we had about 20 people, so we had two different vans. And so I remember we went to go get in the vans, and all the guys got in one van. And all the girls seemed to get in the other van. They were just kind of hanging out, just kind of way it happened. And I didn't want any, I wanted adults with all of them. I said, hey guys, I'm gonna go in the car with the girls. Just if we get separated or something, they'll have a guy there with them, kind of normal procedures that we did with on our mission trips. This was years ago. And so all of a sudden we're driving through this town in Benin. And when we drive in town, I'm talking about when God's with you, you don't have to fear. We take a turn into a marketplace, and when we take a turn into the marketplace, literally thousands of Nigerian men rush the van. They rush the van, and listen, my Nigerian brothers, they know. They some stout brothers. I mean, they're some big old strong-looking brothers. And I remember, and all these guys run up to the van, and they get right up in the van, and they start doing this. So here I am. Bunch of white suburban girls. I'm the only guy. I got thousands of men. I'm like, this is how it goes. This is how I die. I'm be a martyr for Jesus in Benin City. And I mean, I'm like stressing out, as you can imagine. I mean, they are all, and we're just kind of ooching a little bit. I'm like, brother, can you just run over folk? Whatever, go. And they go, and while this is going on, a bunch of the girls are going like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then one girl stops and she looks, she goes, oh, Pastor Jason's here. We're going to be all right. Like, girl, somebody done lied to you. I remember thinking like, you know, listen, they're going to open the car and I might get one punch in and it's going to be all over after that, right? We go around the side and they finally get outside and we're in the clear. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so we get out. And when we get out, I was like, man, what was going on with that? And you know what the host told me? I didn't know this. They said, I said, were they going to attack us? What were they going to do? They said, no. You didn't know. In our culture, when someone goes, that means, hey, come see my shop. I have wares. I have things I want you to buy. Is that true? It's true. Okay. So I'm not lying. All right. And I was like, what? Somebody needs to help them with their body language, all right? But all my girls were confident because I was there. God help their soul. You could be in the middle of something that seemed dangerous, but know that there's something comfortable. But I said, you know what? They're with me. Someone's with me. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? For you are Jehovah Shammah, he's with you. You're walking through the dark night of the soul, you don't have to walk by yourself. He's with you. So you can live without fear. Let me tell you the second thing that impacts your life. You can expect Watch this. This is important. I want you to get this. You can expect good things. Come on. You can expect good things. Come on. We all know those people. Hey, if anything bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to me. Hey, when Jehovah Shema, God's presence on the inside of you, hey, if there's any favor to be handed out, if there's any joy to be handed out, if there's any peace to be handed out, if God's going to work a way and he makes a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland, he takes a crooked path and he makes it straight. Because guess what? I don't know how it's going to work out, but it's going to be good. Why? Because God's with me. Because God's with me. He's going to work it out. Right now might not be good, but he's going to work it out for our good. You can expect good things. Psalms 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I don't lack anything. Psalms, a little bit further down in verse 6. Watch this. This is important. Surely, surely, for sure, the goodness and love. Another version says mercy. That goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I want you to catch this, okay? So I'm gonna try and make this come alive to you. It's gonna follow you all the days of your life. You ever been followed before? Can I tell you, I'm so grateful for so many things in our church. Let me tell you one thing I'm grateful for sure. It's our security team. Our security team, they like the Phantom of the Opera. They're there. And then you don't see them, but then they're there. And it's like, and I don't know if y'all know this, but I kind of have a little route that I go, and they're just there. They follow me. It's like anywhere I go. Matter of fact, I want to so drill this point. I'm going to try to help you get. Brett, you over there? Brett? He doesn't hear me. Where you at, Brett? Where's Brett? There's Brett. Okay, well, come on out. Come on right here. Come on right here, right here, right here. So, y'all, this is Brett. Y'all give it up for Brett. So whenever I say amen after service, you know, I sneak off over there, and look, I know if you're all critical and stuff, I see that pastor, he runs off to his green room so he can have fruit and cheese. You know, and so that's what he's doing. I said, pastor, you know how they are nowadays. No, I'm actually sneaking out of here so that I can run around to the front to catch you, because all the ones who are trying to get out before I get out there, I'm trying to get you. But I'm telling you, it's crazy. I'll say, in Jesus' name, amen. And y'all see me, I come over here real quick. And as I come over here, our security team, they're awesome. I'm like, I come in and all of a sudden it's like, boom, there they are. Hey, security team, how y'all doing? Oh, look, hey, say hi to the guys. Didn't they do a good job? And then this is what I do. I run out this way. You're gonna meet me over there now, sorry. Catch them. And I'm like, and catch everybody. And here's the thing. So you can try to duck and die. If God's for you, you can try to duck and dodge goodness. You can try to hide from it. You can try to get away from it if you want. Goodness and mercy. Stay right there, man of God. Because I can't get away from it. I keep trying to go. And I keep trying to walk. And I can't. And I'm over here. And I can try to duck and dodge it. But guess what? It will follow me all my days. Y'all give it up for Brett real quick. I don't think you get this. I don't think you get it. I don't think you understand it yet. Watch, let me try to help you. Goodness is going to follow you. That's awesome, Pastor. Man, when I'm following God, goodness is going to follow me. It's great. But I'm struggling right now. I'm not doing all the things I know I need to do. Guess what? Guess what else follows you? Mercy. It's still there. Hey, when I'm doing good, good. When I'm not doing so good, mercy. And guess where it's going? Right behind you. It's not leaving you. It's going to follow you all your days. Amen. All right. As our team comes up and I end the night, in this time, our time together this weekend, what can Jehovah Shammah, he's there. Sir, he's there. Ma'am, he's there. I feel like he's a million miles away from me. You're just feeling that because he's there. Jehovah Shema. He follows us with goodness and mercy. Final one is this. I mean, look, there's more than this, but these are just the ones I had. You can ask for help. because God's there, you can actually ask God to help you. By the way, if you're not asking God to help you throughout the day, I want to challenge you. Start. Hey, God, help me with this. Hey, God, I got to have this conversation. I don't want to have it. Help me to say what I need to say. Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. God, help me. Jesus, help me. Spirit of God, help me. Your presence is with us. You bring life. You bring hope. You bring peace. You bring joy. I'm not feeling joy. Help me. God, I'm not feeling grateful. Help me. God, I'm not feeling hopeful. Help me. God, I don't know what to say. Help me. Help me. Help me. Man, I just feel even so strong as we end the service today. And this entire weekend, just Jehovah Shema. He's here. He's here. He's here. And maybe, ma'am, sir, he brought you here so he could live there. Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. He brought you here. Oh, no. My spouse brought me here and told me if I don't come, I'm in trouble. No. Brought you here. My mom, my dad made me come. No. He brought you here so he could live there. Maybe you've not surrendered your life to Christ, but you want to before you leave here today. This is just simply what I'm going to do, because I know many of our services will be watching this way. Do it a little bit different. I must everyone, if they just bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you're here, and if you're watching and you're here, you're right in the spot that you are, and you're like, man, the goodness and mercy, I don't feel it. Like the life of God you talk about, I don't really, but I want to, Pastor. Have you surrendered your life to Christ? If you haven't, you can do it right now. Matter of fact, I'm going to say this prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat this after me, but I'm going to ask everyone in this room to repeat it along with you so we're all doing this together. Let's say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today, a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart and take my life. I give you my past, my present and future. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.